Press the ladies become my aunt. And that's not my fan club, my dad just knows these people. You know, I just left the speakers meeting, right? So I was going out front, and a young lady said, "You watching the fight tonight?" So the first thing I'm saying, well, who got pay-per-view? Who ordered the fight? And I'm going to put mine on Butler. You know, and that's part of my addiction, not before, but right now. You know, because I know it's going to be a good fight. But I'm feeling pretty good this evening, right? And what happened was I was sitting back, I was listening to speakers all day today, and my self-esteem kicked in. You know, but most of the speakers that I heard today, I helped them along the way in recovery. And I'm saying, man, they talk a real profound, you know, they got this thing down to a science. You know, I ain't that book reading type of guy. You know, I don't come in and study the steps and all that. I read through it, I go through it with my sponsor. You know, I don't comprehend real good, but I catch the little cliches in the steps, right? You know, I'm going to briefly qualify myself. Like he said, I'm from Washington, D.C. And December 19th, 1986, I ended up sleeping in the cardboard box at Fifth Street Market. It's an open air market in Washington, D.C. It's a direct result of drinking 100 milligrams of methanol and shooting a whole lot of cocaine. You know, and when I was standing in New York having a Fifth Street Market, and a lot of people still laugh at it. But what happened was at the end, I stood on New York Avenue, I prayed to a clock. And at this point, I was a 31-year-old, do nothing dope fiend, and I asked God just to show me a way out. Because at this point in my life, there was a lot of fear involved. If anybody in here ever drink methanol, you know when you come off, you know, you got those doctors that hang around the methanol clinics that's going to tell you when you come off, your eyeballs going to fall out, your back will break and all that stuff. So it was a lot of fear. You know, everything will break. So, you know, I was raised in the upscale part of Washington, D.C., a place called 8th and H. And I'll never forget, you know, they kicked me off of noncompliance because I was on a good government methanol program. They kicked me off of noncompliance, and I was scared. So what happened was I went down to 8th and H. They got a liquor store. It's called Family Liquor Store on 8th and H. And I've been known as the owner for something like all my life, right? And I remember going in there, I had 50 cents in my pocket. And I went in there and I asked them, can I get a half of a half of Wild Ice Rose? I ain't want a whole half, a half of a half. That's how bad I was doing, right? So y'all know how it is. You just try to do something, keep your legs up underneath for you. So I went and asked Mr. Fields, I got 2 dry quarters. I think I had a $5 tab or something with him at that time, right? I said, you know, it ain't about 85 cents. I'll bring you 35 cents back. He said, Vic, I can't do it today. I said, come on, man, it's me. He said, I can't do it. So I told him, I said, man, I'll break the boxes up. I'm outside and sweep the sidewalk, but I got to get one before I go back to the market. So he said, man, I can't do it. So I proceeded to go outside, and there was a store right on the corner, a place called McBride's. And I stood between McBride's and Family Liquor Store. It took me a half an hour to panhandle 35 cents. I went back and now I go back and I got a little swagger. You know, I get to the counter, give me one, champ. You see what I'm saying? So I'm starting to feel good about myself, right? Because I got 85 cents. Now I'm 31 years old and I couldn't get 85 cents. So I get it. I head back towards Fifth Street Market. I cut it in half. And I remember that last night, I was staying, it was cold outside. And this clock that I prayed to, a lot of y'all probably remember it. It used to sit on New York Avenue. And when you came in town off, came into D.C., it would sit there and would tell you what time it was, what the date was, and how cold it was. And I'll never forget, it was 12:15, it was the 19th of December, it was 10 degrees, it was too cold to pick. And I remember standing there praying and asking God just to show me a way out. Because at this point in my life, I ended up a 31-year-old do-nothing dope fiend. I had all my worldly possessions in the bag. But what I've learned since I've been here is I suffer from a disease that would constantly tell me I don't have a disease. Now figure this one out. I'm standing there, all my worldly possessions in the bag, doing real, I didn't hit bottom. My disease told me, Victor, for real, you really ain't that bad. You're still standing up, you're vertical. You're not horizontal, so maybe you can get one more. My disease said, go across Florida Avenue, because they had a place called Orleans Place, and Handover, and it was wide open. And I knew if I went across Florida Avenue, and told one of them youngers a joke. See, I know how to talk real good. You know, I can talk a cat off the back of a fish truck. You see what I'm saying? I know how to do that. I practiced for a long time. I used to talk to a bus stop on 5th and H. So I know how to talk. So the God that I believe in today, he told me, he said, Victor, if you go across Florida Avenue, you're not going to make it back to Fifth Street Market. And that was the day I chose to surrender to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I just surrendered. You know, when I got to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, when I got here, it wasn't a lot of NA meetings. You know, I don't know how to say this, I got clean with a lot of thirsty people. Y'all know what I'm talking about, them other people that do this all the time. So I got clean with them. You know, and it wasn't a lot of NA meetings. When I first got the program of Narcotics Anonymous in D.C., we used to have, our meeting list was on a 5x7 card. You could fold it up and stick it in your back pocket. We had the white book, then the first basic text came up. So we kind of like white knuckled it, right? And when I got to the program, it was four things they told me I must do. You know, they ain't suggest back then, they ain't suggest. You know, we used to have encounter groups. They weren't meetings, they was encounter groups. And they'd sit there and dice you, you know, and think nothing of it. So what happened was an old timer told me, he said, Vic, there's four things you got to do. He said, all you got to do is pray. Don't use. Go to a meeting and help somebody along the way. And it's been working for damn near 28 years through the grace of God and to help you people. You know, and I thank God, y'all call them predecessors, I know them as old timers. I thank God for the old timers because I remember this one particular old timer that came out of St. Elizabeth Hospital. His name was John Mark Lyons. And John told me years ago, he said, Victor, the definition of grace is giving somebody they don't do something they don't deserve. He said, as long as you stay in God's grace, you ain't got to beg for his mercy. You ain't got to beg for his mercy. And that's what I try to do on a daily basis, stay in God's grace. You know, changing, where do y'all get this topic from, changing addiction? I still can't figure this one out, right? You know, but I guess I'm going to do the best I can do, right? You know, and I guess what happened was I came to the program of Narcotics Anonymous and got addicted to this program. You know, I still go to meetings on a daily basis. I ain't going to tell you once in a while. I still go to meetings regularly. I still try to help somebody, and I still pray, and I still don't use. You know, and when I got here, you know, I hear a lot of folks now talking about they were sick and tired of being sick and tired and sick and tired of being tired. You know, we was eating lunch today, and I told a guy, I said, man, when a person gets tired, most of the time they take a nap. Then they get back up and do the same thing all over again. So, you can be tired if you want to, but when I got here, he said, Victor, all you got to do is surrender. And this program will take away all your excuses. I'm the dope fiend in the family that had to bury my family since I've been here. I got a sister right now smoking crack down in Orlando, Florida, 100 miles an hour, and I can't help her. But I can help everybody else. But I can't help her. You know, I guess that's being powerless, right? You know, I thank God for the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. When I got here, they said, Vic, there's only two steps you got to put on paper. The fourth and the eighth. The fourth and the eighth. We ain't had no, what's that, Flatbook, How and Why Works. We had a Hazleton guide about that thick. You started writing there. By the time you got finished that, you were too tired to do anything else, so you go to sleep and get back up and start writing again. And they said, make a list. And even today, I still got to make a list. And y'all told me to keep the list open. Because I'm going to hurt people in recovery and have done it. And doing it right now. You know, and I feel like I'm out of place sometimes because I hear everybody talking about, man, I'm writing this and I'm writing that and I'm writing this. I'm writing that. You know, so I feel bad, so I need to be walking around with a little steno pad in my back pocket. So if I get in a situation, I can pull out and say, man, there's some third step action here, because I wrote it down. You see what I'm saying? Because it's on paper. The good news is, they said in the 12th step, we practice these principles in all our affairs. Don't get me wrong, this is all my experience. They ain't say we write these principles in all affairs. They say we practice these principles in all affairs. But what I got to do, and I still wrestle my sponsor in there, you know, man, you need to get the flat book and the green to go and start writing that, looking at it. I said, well, I'm going to start after you start. You see what I'm saying? Well, I love them to death, right? And I still struggle with that because when I got here, the program was so simple. It was so simple. You know, they ain't tell me nothing about go to 90 meetings in 90 days. They said, for a guy like you, Victor, go to meetings until you get further notice. I ain't got the notice yet. You see what I'm saying? And this the one I like. This the one I like. What is it? Get a sponsor who got a sponsor who got a sponsor who got a recognized 12 suggested steps. Like, I can start with this one sponsor right here. Well, I got to get one that got another sponsor. And he's going to have a sponsor automatically, right? So it's a lot of new stuff. And like I said, sometimes I feel kind of bad. Like, I feel like I'm working the program backwards. You know, I got folks coming in here now, and they lay it down real good, sound real good, move the whole crowd this way and back this way. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying I'm doing something wrong. You know, changing addictions. I got a bunch of them in here. And I told somebody, I said, man, how can I change my addiction? Because the old ones ain't stopped. You got to have some new ones first to change the old ones. I came from a poor family. I ain't gonna tell you we were so poor we ate every other day, but we ate. You know, so I don't care if I'll never see no spaghetti for the rest of my life. You know, we was the kind of people that had that milk in the box, the eggs in the box, the Farina, the peanut butter. You see what I'm saying? I ain't know what a real egg was until I was 15 years old. I thought all eggs came in a box. You see what I'm saying? So we were poor. So I had to survive. Like I said, I came from 8th and 8th. So I had to survive. I was tall, light, skinny, skinny. I had issues long before I got here. You know, I was in the 60s. On 8th and 8th, they was coming on from Nam. James was talking about, say it loud, I'm black and I'm pale. I'm tall, light, skinny, skinny, hanging a mile long. You see what I'm saying? They talking about going down, Lord, and doing 15 to 45. I'm saying, man, I can't even spell 15 to 45. You see what I'm saying? So I'm scared to death. I always want to be somebody besides Victor. I always want to be short, dark-skinned, bow-legged with a big bush with a name like Killer. But it ain't work out like that. What I've learned since I've been here, that a shot of dope, a sip of meth, 2-3 bands, and a few DeLorteans did not get me to the room of Narcotics Anonymous. And it took me a while to understand that. I grew up with a dis-ease that turned into a disease. I grew up with a bunch of bad feelings that I was talking about with a guy that got 200 some days. We were talking about it this morning. I'm talking about the bad feelings I grew up with. So I'm talking about being addicted long before I picked up. You know, can you picture being 7 years old, coming up the steps? Because where I lived, I always lived in the basement. You know, but my mother had resentments towards me. You could say I had resentments towards my father. And I'd come upstairs in the morning. You know, I used to watch Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best and stuff like that when he was coming up, right? So I'm thinking everybody's supposed to be sitting around the dining room table eating breakfast, you know, freshly squeezed orange juice, talking about, oh, I love you, shit, right? So I come up the steps, and she'd look at me. She said, you know, you're just like your father. So I'm saying, okay, what about it? He ain't shit, and you ain't shit either. I'm talking about an early age. So what happened was my self-esteem was real low at an early age. You know, I'm talking about the physical abuse, the mental abuse I had to go through. You know, I can't say my family, my mother and father was alcoholics, my stepfather, they were alcoholics because I can't put that label on them. They had to come to me and tell me this. You know, and a lot of times, you know how we come up, kids can be cruel. My mother drank a lot. And one guy told me one time, I was walking down the street, he said, Victor, your mother stayed drunk so much, even when she's sober, she still likes she's drunk. I said, damn. You know, my mother taught me how to steal at an early age. She was a thief. You know, and my sponsor, I always talk to my sponsor about this donut that I wanted to get from Sears and Roebuck. You know, they used to have a Sears and Roebuck in Northeast D.C., and when you walk through the back door, they used to pop popcorn on this side and make donuts on this side. And every Saturday morning, we live on 8th and 8th, she said, come on, we get ready to go down to Sears. So I said, oh, Lord, I know you're going to change tags and whatnot, right? She would have us out in the aisleway, you know, distractions. She'd be over there. Back then, I ain't trying to tell you how to steal, but back then, you could take the tags and slide them off and put the old one on, right? She would do this every Sunday. So we get ready to leave out the store. Now, she didn't beat these people real good. So I look at her with, you know, little puppy eyes. I said, Mom, can I get a donut? Hell no, boy, I ain't got no money. I'm saying to myself, you still have this shit out the store and you ain't got 10 cents. You ain't got 10 cents. I thank God for sponsors. My sponsor said, the reason she ain't buy the donut because she ain't want to get caught. So, you know, and I'm talking about the way I grew up with a bunch of bad feelings. I got a lot of addictions in this program. I learned how to play crap when I was 13 years old. And I gotta be honest, I ain't stopped since. You you know what? I want to come and tell y'all I'm a recovering gambler. 500 people came to me last night talking about, man, you want to go to Dover? I said, no, I'm going to take a rain check. One to go bad. But, you know, but I don't know. I struggle with that piece. I struggle with that piece because my disease has me in denial. My disease say, man, and listen to this, your mortgage is paid. Your gas, see, you play numbers, it's my fault. But your mortgage is paid. Your gas, your light, your phone bill's paid. You got a jar of water in the refrigerator with a pack of bologna and some bread. You ain't doing that bad, so everything's taken care of, right? New addictions. I'm going to get honest. You know, because y'all told me if I don't get honest, I'm not going to stay here. You know, for like, I think the last 5 years, I've been sitting still. I ain't been in a relationship. You know, I've been practicing the 11th step. You know, because the 11th step talks about we sought through prayer and meditation to prove our conscious contact with God. If you notice, it says conscious. They say when you sleep, it says conscious contact with God. And I come home every day at work, sit on my back porch and do 11th step. And I got some sponsor brothers and a sponsor. And I tell them, I said, man, I'm okay being with me. Because I've learned how to live in my own skin. You know, I ain't got to have no lot of excitement going on in my life. I ain't got to have a rack of booze, calm, and all that, right? But I was able to learn how to live in my own skin. In the last year, I don't know what the hell happened. You know, I was sponsored to my man, you single guy, you can go ahead and date. I don't know the definition of date. Either you're with somebody or you're not. You know, but y'all dressing up now. That's the generic saying. We doing some things, but we ain't together. So you know, I meet a little honey, it's a little cutie, right? So I started hollering. She told me the other day, Victor, you ain't a big flirt. You know, I'm just saying, I'm just being me. I ain't no flirt. So I meet her. We've been hanging out for about a year and a half. And I think it formed into a relationship. But the thing I need to say, I said, I think it turned into a relationship. And what happened was I took her to New Orleans for her birthday. So you know where I stayed at, Harris. You know, right across the it wasn't like I stayed way down at Canal Street, so I stayed right at the casino so I could walk across the street to play. And so I'm down there, she's somewhere on Bourbon Street doing whatever she wanna do. So I'm pissed, right? So I'm playing. And all of a sudden, this little cutie walk up to me. And I mean, I'm a great right-handed guy. I don't do no whole lot of flirting. You know, I got a whole bunch of female friends with platonic relationships. So this little cutie, she walk up to the table. And I don't know if y'all know how to gamble, but some of y'all probably do. So a lot of y'all do, which I was like, admit, yeah, okay. Okay, so what happened was, this young lady, because when you play, I ain't trying to give y'all instructions, but when you play crap, you got put your card up on the table and they take your card. So the young lady took a card and threw it up on the table and I seen it going through the air. She was a 7-star member. 7-star means you gotta lose $80,000 to become a 7-star member. That's the same thing I said, damn. So you know, the addict stepped up. He was in a hurry too. And I see that joint fly through the table. I said, okay, I just struck a rich. So what happened was, you know, I'm being a gentleman. So I said, you must have your own business. She said, how'd you know? I didn't know for real, but I said, you must have your own business. Because, I mean, if you can stand to lose $80,000 a year, you must have your own business. She said, yeah, I do. So, okay, I had to kick it in there. So later, so I'm being nice, you know. So I leave and come back. So she at the same table again. Now I'm turning it up now. Oh, you got some pretty hands. Where's your ring at? You left it in the safe? Oh, I'm not married. Well, who's home watching the kids? I don't have none. I said, oh, shit. I said, it's on there, Jack. I got it. Then she had the nerve to talk much. She had the nerve to tell me, I really enjoy talking to you. I said, this done deal now. I'm going to stick a fork in it. She done. And, but yeah, I've been hollering at her. You know, she live in Atlanta. So y'all know them. I don't know if anybody been in a long distance relationship. But half the time, they don't work. couple of weeks ago, we was out in Vegas. I never put my hands in my pockets the whole time I was out there. Y'all know what I mean. I ain't have to take nothing with me. All I had to do was show up. She said, Victor, go to the airport. Because, you know, I'm job spendthrifty, right? So I'm trying to get I'm trying to book a flight from D.C. to Vegas, right? So I'm calling everybody. Southwest, I got the special for $69. No, that's over, right? I'm calling U.S. Air. You know, that's like riding public transportation. So I'm calling on rail. So she said, Vic, she said, stop. She said, let me call you back in 15 minutes. She called me back in 15 minutes. She said, on the 15th, go to National Airport, pick up your ticket. You fly first class from National to Atlanta. From Atlanta to Vegas, we fly first class. I said, first class? I said, I usually sit back there next to the bathroom where you can't put the seat back. But what I'm saying is, she ain't got no problem spending the money, and I ain't got no problem helping her spend it. You see what I'm saying? Hey, but for real, the bottom line is, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. I'm being serious now. Because what happened was I came to this program, Narcotics Anonymous, and what you do if you stay here long enough, you will get a God conscience. Now, meanwhile, I'm still messing with the one up here. So the other night she talking about, Vic, you know you was talking in your sleep. I said, what did I say? Did I call your name? And it doesn't feel good. To go a little further, the one I'm dealing with up here, because I told her, I said, I'm going to North Carolina Labor Day weekend, and we're going to Cherokee Harris down there, me and this one in Atlanta. And I told her about it. I said, look, I'm seeing somebody else, and this ain't working between me and you. We got, you know, we still cutting up, right, on a regular. So I tell her, I said, look, I'm going to hang out with her. And she told me, she said, Vic, you can cut up as long as you don't leave none of your emotions down there. This woman was willing to stoop that low to tell me I could do this and come back home. But the bottom line is, hurt people hurt people. It's a thing called karma. When I got to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, the old timers used to always tell us, if you don't pay now, you pay later. And you get the bill when you least expect it. You know, and y'all heard my story before. I used to ride a short bus. I was the guy with the helmet on the fingers, you know what I'm doing. You see what I'm saying? So I'm kind of slow. So I'm thinking the building will collapse on me. Somebody can run me over across the street. The bill is the emotions. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When you're balled up in the middle of the night at 4 o'clock in the morning, the conscience will beat you half to death. Won't let you go to sleep. Then it'll wake you up and beat you some more. Then you can go to sleep. Because I know I'm doing wrong. The God that I believe in sees everything. The God that I believe in sees everything. And the way my life is right now is a direct result of the way I've been living my life. I'm a firm believer when you're doing the right things happen to you. When you're doing the wrong things happen to you. I've been blessed. How much time? I'm going to close in a few minutes, right? Changing addictions. 5 minutes. You just flip that around. But I'm going to share something with you next week. I've been on the same job going 19 years. Both my jobs 19 years. And in 2012, I got wrongfully terminated. I got fired. And, you know, October the 2nd of 2012. And I got a network of guys in my life, some sponsor brothers and a sponsor. And I'll never forget, I went to my sponsor's house, because I work in Old Town Alexandria. But when you come across 14th Street Bridge, it's split. 3rd Street Tunnel, 14th Street. And I still know how to get to 14th Street. I still know where the dope is out, but you do is look, because we see us out there. And I go to my sponsor's house, and I said, man, I told him what was going on. And he said, Vic, the same God that got you out of 5th Street Market, it's ironic because he lives across the street from the market. He said, the same God that got you out the market got you right now. You know, I ain't want to hear that. You know, here's a guy that's getting retired from his job. He lives like Leave with the Beaver. You know, my three sons, the kids sitting at the kitchen table. He got to kick the refrigerator door closed with so much food in there. And I'm saying, man, I ain't got no half partner at home. I'm doing this by myself. He said, have some faith. He believed more in me than I believed in myself. The guys, my sponsors, these brothers, believed more in me than I believed in myself. And it worked out. I got reinstated on my job, back pay, full benefits. And it was a blessing. It was God's grace. You see what I'm saying? It was God's grace. But what it was a belief. These people believe more in me than I believe in myself. What I'm saying is, the longer I stay here, the more work I got to do. Because, see, I wanted to come in and tell y'all a lie because I got the end of 28 years. I can walk on water and part the Red Sea. And, you know, if I walk across some water, take a flick. It's a Kodak moment. But I still have to do a lot of work. There's still a lot of work involved in this thing, right? I'm never going to get it right. That's why I say keep coming back. I will never get it right. You know, and that's why they say, thank God you keep working the steps. You keep working the steps. I don't get to the steps and stop and say, okay, I'm through with them. You know, and besides my behavior right now, because I know if I don't change my behavior will change me. Yeah. I had a sponsor when I first came around. He used to always tell me, Victor, if you don't work on the inside, the outside will fall apart. I'm going to close with this. And he used to always tell me, he said, at every meeting we read, it says how it works, not how it talks. That means I got to come in and do the work. Thanks for letting me share.